So the epistle for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, for we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ. Knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way. For some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, from whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the people. They had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Please be seated. Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This past Friday, we celebrated the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. And I think it's interesting to see how the church refers to St. Mary Magdalene. It refers to her as penitent, which I think is interesting because we're used to the virgin, the martyr, the confessor. But she is given that title of penitent, of one that's obviously, she lived a bad life. She lived a life that was displeasing to God for many, many years. But then at one point in her life, she accepted the grace of God. And I think that is what we have to then to understand. You know, even though that she had many sins, she had lived a life separated from Almighty God. And whether she knew better or not, is not necessarily the question at this point. Because we see with the words of our Lord, he says, many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. And so yes, there is this understanding. Because St. Mary Magdalene, she accepted then that grace from Almighty God, where she completely changed her life. And through that, because then she loved God so much, that is why then her sins were forgiven. Because of her great love. It reminded me when I was preparing the sermon and looking at the epistle. Because you read the epistle and it talks about how the old man is crucified. Crucified with him. And it's a capital him, so it's referring to our Lord. That yes, the old man is crucified with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say that the body of sin may be destroyed and that we may serve sin no longer. And so I think that is a very good description of St. Mary Magdalene. Okay, we can refer to her old woman then instead of old man. But we have to look at that and see. Yes, she served sin for many years. She was trapped. She was caught in the sins that she had committed. And so she lived a life displeasing to God. We know from the spiritual authors The woman taken in adultery is often referred to St. Mary Magdalene, of how our Lord told her, "Where are your accusers?" Because our Lord had said, okay, he that is without sin, you can cast the first stone at her. Because that would have been the punishment. So obviously it cleared all the accusers away. And so our Lord said at that time that he would not accuse her either. He said, go and sin no more. And so this great grace that she received, she took to that. She took to that grace. And that is what we must understand. For any of us, you know, we have the offers of the graces of God to us every day. We have the chance for daily mass, the sacraments frequently. We have all of this offered to us. And yet, a lot of times, we live our life away from God too. And granted, maybe a St. Augustine, maybe a St. Mary Magdalene, a St. Mary of Egypt, we look to them as an example of how they overcame their sin. But with each of them, they were determined at some point in their life then to give it all up, that they did not want it any longer, that they would not accept this lifestyle any longer. And that is what we must look to. Yes, we can look at them in terms of an example, and maybe it's a consolation to us to realize, okay, well, God can even work with sinful people. But we have to look at and see how much that they were determined to change their life. And then look at our own lives and see, do we do the same thing? Are we determined to change our life, or do we just kind of go through the motions? Do we just basically live from one confession to the next, and that's it? I mean, granted, at least we are making the attempts to go to confession and trying to change our life. But do we view the things as occasion of sin? Do we view the things as a danger to us and then stay away from them? Or is it something that we play with fire, thinking that we're not going to get burned? I mean, we see that real life situation, I'm sure you see it much more, with your children. You tell them not to do something because they're going to get hurt. And then you see them little by little going back to the thing that you told them not to do. And it's like, so you tell them again. And then maybe you get busy and you look away and you do something else, and all of a sudden you hear a scream and it's like, well, guess what? They either burnt themselves or they hit or they fell off something or whatever it may be. And hopefully you say, well, maybe this will then help them to learn to stay away from, you know, the stove, or stay away from something that is very hot or something that hurt them. In a way, the same thing that God presents to us. We realize we go too close to something, we get burned. And it should be the realization to us that we need to stay away from this thing, that we have to stay away from this thing. Otherwise, we could lose our soul. Otherwise, it is a danger to us. And maybe that realization does not sink into us. Maybe the realization that we could lose our soul at any point in our life does not, we do not comprehend that. Because maybe we always live in that idea that, well, I'll have time. I'll have time, I'll have time, I'll have time. And then what? I'm doing my spiritual reading about Father Willie Doyle. He was a Jesuit who was a chaplain in the military. And so he was in the First World War. So he was in the trenches with the men. And his story is interesting to read. He was an Irish priest. Not that that's what drew me to him, but... but it's interesting to see how he explains being there for all of the soldiers. And they always referred to him as their padre, their priest, because they saw him with them in the trenches. And then if someone got hurt, he would go out. He would anoint them. He would risk his own life for all of these men. And they realized that. And in some ways for them, they always felt a safety because they felt their padre was in the trenches with them. What more do you need? Which in a large sense is very true. What does it matter if we are prepared to face God? It doesn't matter how it will come, whether it's a bomb that goes off in a war, whether it's a car accident, whatever. As long as we're prepared, we have nothing to fear. And so a lot of the soldiers, they felt that way. They would go to regular confession to him. They would go to mass when they could. And to read the life that he led, it is amazing to see the chances he took on his own life, but it was for his troops. And he would go and he would visit them. But just reading that life, you can see the amazement. But just last night, when I was reading the story, it was after Easter, so he was going around to make sure that all of them could fulfill their Easter duty. I mean, the dedication that this priest had was amazing. He was going around, but at one point when he was going around and he was hearing some confessions, bombs were going off around them. So he knew, well, this could be at any moment any of our chance to die. And it was interesting to see how he reported back and saying, maybe this will help some of the young men that don't understand. And what he was referring to is maybe this will help them to make a good confession because there is a real chance that they're going to die. Instead of the ones that are acting like, yeah, I'll make my confession at some point, not realizing the actual danger they were in every day of their life. Of every time that they were in those trenches, they could have died. And so he, Father Doyle, realized that, and he would go around and try to make sure and take care of their souls. But he thought to himself, because these bombs were flying overhead, he thought to himself, maybe this will actually wake up some of these ones. And then afterward, you know, as he goes on, he says, it was nice to see so many good confessions. So yes, maybe the bombs going over their head really helped them to think about, wow, this could be my last confession. This could be it. And so, yes, think about that. Think about all the people that would come a running at that point when you think this could be the actual end. But that's how we should live our life every day. We have no idea when God will call us. And yet we take a chance with our soul. We take a chance when we commit a mortal sin and it's like, yeah, I'll go to confession at some point. Or like I said, you look at the bulletin this week and said, oh, it's just Father McDonald. Maybe I'll wait till next week. The other priest should be back by then. Maybe not. So you may be stuck with me for 2 weeks, but, you know, just a warning. But that's the thing that we have to understand. God gives us these opportunities. He gave these men, this priest, to be with them. And he was not going to just leave them out in the middle of, you know, a war and just say, okay, you're on your own. Good luck. And so he gave them this dedicated priest that would go out and go out amongst the bombs and everything and anoint these people. That's how he ended up losing his life, going out and anointing a soul. And so he died in action, we can say very clearly. But he died for helping the souls that were entrusted to him. And so, yes, you see with Father Doyle, even someone like that, that he gave them everything he had. He converted people because of that. He strengthened these men who were in battle because he had a strong conviction of what he was doing. And so, yes, it made these men realize the fleetingness of life, the fleetingness of their soul. And so they were determined to try to live a good life. He would say sometimes he would go to say a mass and it would be like 300 communions. And these are just troops that are with him, the dedication that they had. And so that's why I say when we think about crucifying the old man, do we do that? I mean, do we actually try to crucify the old man to live a good life, to get rid of these sins that we have? Are we weak like the rest of the world? And we can't give up these things that are deadly for our soul. And that is what is the difference with St. Mary Magdalene or St. Augustine or St. Mary of Egypt. Yes, they lived a bad life. But then at some point, they worked with the grace of God and said, forget it, I'm not going down that path any longer. Or at least to try to show to God that they are going to cut the ties, that they're not going to give in to these things, or stay away from the things that are dangerous to them. I mean, how many of us do we play with fire that way? And then we're like the children. Usually it's children under the age of reason. They can't reason it out until they hit something and it's like, whoa, that was too hot. I'm not doing that again. But how many of us are like that? And we just continue going back? I mean, what will it take for God to have to do to wake us up? I mean, just as Father Doyle thought, it was that maybe something will help these ones when the bomb goes over their head. Maybe to wake them up. So what do we need? I mean, what do we need to help us with that? And so truly that we can destroy the old man that is within us. That we can finally put it to rest. That we can move on. That we will serve sin no longer. And so that is what St. Mary Magdalene gives to us. And that is why I think she is such a great example, though. She's a great example because she had lived a bad life, she worked with the grace of God, and then it's like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. And she illustrated that love for God. What is by the tears and washing his feet with her tears and her hair, or whether it was being faithful at the foot of the cross the whole time. And don't forget, she is the one that made the announcement that our Lord had resurrected from the dead. She was the first one to go back to the apostles. She was given that grace by God. And so you see how God blessed her then after that. I think also in the Collect of the Mass, it talks about grafting in our hearts to have a true love of God's name. I mean, that is what we're praying for in this Mass. And so pray for that for your soul. Truly make these words that the Mass is giving to us mean something for our own soul. That God will graft it into our heart. And so truly pray for these graces. Pray to St. Mary Magdalene that you too can have a great love for God. That you will have this great love for God and to prove it by your action, that it's not just empty words, that we say, oh, I love God. I mean, do you? Prove it. Prove it by what you do. And so, yes, pray for these graces. Because of her great love, many sins were forgiven. And also, we see what our Lord says about her. Because of thy faith, it has made you whole. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.